Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from Answer 20 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. I have the answer on the whiteboard. Here's the question. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? Answer. God having, out of his mere good pleasure, from all eternity elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery and bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. Now, in order to properly understand answer number 20, you and I need to get the context in the Shorter Catechism and understand the foundation upon which answer 20 is built. So let's go back a little bit in the Shorter Catechism to question 16 and following. Did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? The covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, all mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. All humanity suffered the consequences of Adam's sin. This is the teaching of the Bible. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. All of us suffered as a result of Adam's sin. Question and answer 17. Into what estate did the fall bring mankind? The fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. Question and answer 18. Wherein consists the sinfulness of that estate wherein a man fell? The sinfulness of that estate wherein a man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. Part of the consequences of the fall into the estate of sin and misery is that our nature is corrupt, totally, wholly corrupt. Corruption of his whole nature, the Catechism says. And we discover this from Genesis, where Genesis says, the intentions of the heart of the wicked men of the earth were only evil continually. Their dispositions, their temperaments, their inclinations were only evil continually. Every inclination of their heart was only evil continually. We are wholly corrupt. All humanity is corrupt, and we are wholly corrupt. That doesn't mean we're as bad as we can possibly be. If you drop a little, put a little drop of black ink into a glass of pure water, that black ink colors and pollutes the whole glass of water. It's not the same as though you would pour the whole bottle of ink into the glass of water, then the glass of water would become totally black. But as the case is, there are variations in the corruption that exists within fallen human nature. But we are totally corrupt, you see. All human beings are totally corrupt. What is the misery of that estate wherein a man fell? All mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God, are under his wrath and curse, and so made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. We all die. We say death and taxes are inevitable. And so death is, in fact, inevitable. We all die. And what is death? Death is the consequence of sin. We are all under the wrath and curse of God. All humanity is under His wrath and curse. And we die. And if we are not brought out from under the curse of God, we will suffer the pains of hell forever. Now we come finally to question and answer 20. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? Listen carefully to the question. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? It would have been perfectly just for God to leave all fallen humanity in the estate of sin and misery. Judgment came upon human beings, all human beings, because of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. And so it would have been perfectly just for God to leave all human beings in the estate of sin and misery, and to allow all human beings to perish, because we would justly perish. But God has mercy. This is the wonderful thing. And so we come to answer 20. God having out of His mere good pleasure from all eternity. You see, out of His mere good pleasure, it was God's good pleasure to save some. He could have left all human beings in the estate of sin and misery. But He chose, out of His own good pleasure and mercy, to draw some out of the estate of sin and misery. God having, out of His mere good pleasure from all eternity, elected some to everlasting life. No, He did not elect all. He could have. And it would have been, in accordance with His grace and mercy, proper for Him to save all. But He does not save all. He does not save all to display for all eternity His perfect justice and His judgment against sin in the life of the unbeliever. And so, we have, as it were, the large group of all of fallen humanity, and God takes some out of the mass of fallen humanity for Himself. Listen to what the Scriptures have to say. Accordingly, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. In other words, it was God's plan to draw individuals to Himself, to cull out of the mass of fallen humanity a people for Himself, to choose out of the mass of fallen humanity a people for Himself. In fact, this is God's doing. God having, out of His mere good pleasure, elected some to everlasting life. This is the good work of God. If circumstances were left to ourselves, we would wander further and further into sin. For example, you might ask the question, what did God have to do to harden Pharaoh's heart? Answer, nothing. All God had to do was to allow Pharaoh to go along his merry way, deeper and deeper into sin. And allowing God to go deeper and deeper into sin meant that his heart would become more hard, progressively hard. His heart would be hardened. What did God have to do to harden Pharaoh's heart? Nothing. Nothing. And God could have allowed us to go merrily along our way and our hearts to become progressively hard. But he did not do that. Before the foundation of the world, out of his good pleasure, he elected some to everlasting life. And what did God do then to bring men and women and young people and children out of the estate of sin and misery and into a state of salvation? He acted by and through a Redeemer. God, having out of his mere good pleasure elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery and bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. Through a covenant of grace, God delivered his elect by a Redeemer. Now, what does the Catechism mean by this phrase, covenant of grace? Well, the terminology is taken in different ways, but it appears that the Catechism is packing two different concepts together. First of all, the Catechism has in view the covenant made between God the Father and God the Son before all eternity. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 quotes from Psalm 40. And verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 10, quoting from Psalm 40, says, "Then I said, Behold, I have come." This is a reference to Jesus Christ. "In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." After saying above, sacrifices and offerings, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, you take pleasure, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." Jesus Christ came into the world to do the will of the Father. In other words, Jesus Christ had an agreement with the Father to enter into the world in obedience to him, to carry out the will of the Father and redeem the elect. Now, Psalm 2 also has something to say about this. Psalm 2, verse 7 says, "I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession." The agreement between God the Father and God the Son was this, that God the Son would come into the world to obey the Father, that God the Son would take up the stipulations of the Father to obey him perfectly, and in addition to die a terrible death on the cross to pay the penalty due to sinners for their sin. He would die specifically for the elect, and we will see this in further lessons. But in addition to this, Jesus Christ asked of the Father, and the Father would then give to him the people whom he had previously chosen. God the Father would give a people to the Son. An amazing transaction. And it's in accordance with this background that we should understand question 20 of the Shorter Catechism. God, having out of his mere good pleasure elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery and bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. Of course, the Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this covenant, first of all, agreed upon within the Trinity between the Father and the Son, begins the process of redeeming God's elect. And what we see in the Bible as the covenant being worked out in the lives of Adam and Eve, first of all, and then progressively Abraham and Moses and the people of Israel, and on into the New Testament, the saints that are delivered in the New Testament. What we see as the covenant of grace being applied to individual lives and to the lives of the church in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament is the covenant agreed upon within the Trinity and then worked out in the world. And we call this working out of the intra-Trinitarian covenant the covenant of grace. That's what we more commonly call the covenant of grace, the working out of the intra-Trinitarian covenant in the world. And that covenant between the Father and the Son being worked out in the world and applied to men and women and children and young people in the world. Now, think about it this way, friends. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, what the Father and the Son agreed upon before the foundations of the world is being applied to you. And when you truly believe in Jesus Christ, what this means is that you are one of God's elect. God having, out of His mere good pleasure, elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace. And if you are a recipient of this covenant of grace and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this means that you are one of God's elect. That Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 applies to you. Accordingly, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. In other words, when you come to a realization that Jesus Christ died on that cross for you and that He lived a perfect life for you, and you trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, you understand that He is your Redeemer and that He has brought you into a state of salvation, then you must also realize that before the foundation of the world, He chose you in Him. This does not mean that you are anything great. No. This means that God is great. That God had great mercy upon you. And therefore, you must give Him all the praise and glory. You happen to be one of those whom God has brought out of the mass of fallen humanity and has not left to themselves. Give God praise and understand this is the case, dear friends. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? God having, out of His mere good pleasure, elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery and bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. If you have not yet experienced the grace and love and mercy of God that comes to men and women through the Redeemer. Oh, dear friend, turn to Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. Study the Bible and learn about Him and learn about the grace of God that comes to men and women through Jesus Christ. And trust in the electing love of God in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Thanks for listening.